full time at the Allegiant Stadium. It is the Painting Scum. We come out 48-24 winners. Points are played, not for the first 10 minutes or so, a couple of dodgy decisions. I thought King's try was a try, and there was a potential for us to tackle on Fitzgibbon. But Wigan took control, Warrington were never winning this one. But they showed a little bit of fight at the end, and that great try from Ashton to finish us off, hit them with one boot on the field. Anyway, the pubs are open, I'm still here till Thursday. We'll be all right. Oh, bloody sweet Caroline. Fucking hate this song.
Hello from What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob, Sin City, London. So, with Sam Burgess' visa coming through in the nick of time, although he's probably wishing it hadn't, where are my two podcasting green cards? Firstly, he declares every statistic and always makes sure he maxes out to full capacity when stocking up on his duty-free. It's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, with a suspicious look and sweating profusely, no doubt laden with drugs in his suitcase that Boots the Chemist couldn't fill, and destined for a rubber glove smeared in KY jelly to be shoved right up his hairy, battered sphincter, it's Dennis Waywell.
Oh, how are we all feeling? Come on, Rob, how are you doing over there?
I'm all right. I mean, autumn's arrived, not that the weather's really... I'm feeling my nipples then. Do you see that? I'm feeling my nipples on camera. Yeah. I didn't realise that my shirt was undone and I'm feeling my nip-nips.
This is why we've never done video, innit, really, I suppose.
Exactly. Can't do it. Things are good. Things are good over here. Can't complain. How are things over there? Has it warmed up, Sam? I noticed on my weather app the other day there was a sunshine on Warrington. Yes.
We've had about 3 hours of sunshine. It got actually to double figures, I think, today.
Oh, lovely, lovely. And you've been out on your walks, Dennis?
Yes. I'm doing my walks this year. In fact, I've actually came up with a tackle bags idea, which I'll announce in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, walking down the Somerset Energy lines this year.
Oh.
Doing a bit of dowsing as I go along the way.
Very good.
Yeah, I just thought I read there was a big cyclone somewhere around Australia.
Oh, yeah. A mate of mine who's up in Brisbane, he rang me yesterday and said it's worse than COVID. He said all the shops, they've got no food left. Everyone's stocking up. They're expecting 30 centimetres of rain either today or tomorrow. Yeah, 120-kilometre winds. Five cyclones have come together off the eastern seaboard of Sydney. Yep. Yeah. Sam's got his ruler out there.
Yeah.
Adrian Mole, there he is. Yeah, measuring it again. Happy days.
Full ruler.
Happy days. Yeah. Okay, come on then. Let's crack on with this. Try and be upbeat, lads. Come on. Okay. I know. Right, the Wigan review in Vegas. The team was Dufty, Thulis, Lindop, King, Ashton, Williams, Leyland, Yates in the front row with Walker and Vaughan, Fitzgibbon, Russell and Curry. Interchange bench remained the same as the week before. Powell, Crowther, Harrison and Philbin. Oh, here's the highlights.
Wigan v Warrington. Shuffle up and deal. Rugby league is back in Vegas. It's Smith. He'll kick, looking for Marshall, looking for Waddle. It bounces free. It comes up for Wigan. And would you believe Tyler Dupree, the nephew of a Super Bowl winner, may have the first try in Vegas. I am a Ray. Kieran Nabisky, Nabisky for the corner, it's going to be close. Up for Smith, dummy inside, now there's Ember, hard to stop, on the spin, put down, play on, green light Bevan French. The quick play, the ball at the last, French will take full advantage. Smith. They're in again, Wigan. They are the opportunists. Smith. And field. Marshall's away. Wigan on the attack for try number five. Lock it in right now. Field goes over. Bevan French. Superstar becomes megastar. Unloads to field. Field does some dancing. What a pass. What a rugby league try. Branches away again. Stop the fight. Stop the fight. They've done it again. Now Luke Thompson has a four-pointer. I am a Ray. Williams plays the kick and chase card that scored. Well, that is the kid. The 18-year-old Aaron Lindop. Williams, a kick. Let's try it this side. Right there. Brilliant catch. It was executed to perfection. Dufty with a ball. Skips across field. Does some more skipping. Then sets sail to score. On the day you thought the earth was done. So here they go. A few of the additions. And Smith. Up it comes for Phil, for Marshall, it's that easy. We thought a different day had come. Intercept, it is Ashton's chance. The Warrington Wolves may finish with a try. Ashton loses a boot and still goes all the way. I am a Ray. I'm gonna Ray this way again.
Final score, Wigan 48, Warrington 24. There were tries, consolation tries for Lindop, Harrison and Dufty, and Ashton went the full length of the field. Goals, Foulis, 4 from 4. Referee was Kendall Mintcake. Before we review, lads, we'll go through the timeline. The morning after, I FaceTimed Alan London. Here's the conversation we had. Apologies for the sound. He's got his hand over the microphone.
Hello.
Hello.
Well.
Have you got over it?
It took me a long time to get to sleep, but you would. Yeah, I have. We're on a different planet. First hour was hell of a display. They could make yardage whenever they wanted.
Mm.
Mind you, did you see who had the worst stats for tackling?
Who?
Russell missed about 6 tackles.
Well, he's not good enough, is he? I told you this.
Oh, no, the other one who missed about 9 tackles was the little lad.
So basically, the two we've signed this year that we knew full well weren't good enough before we signed them. I don't understand who on earth makes these signings, because you only have to watch them for 5 minutes to realise they're not good enough.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't just those two. They were far, far better than nothing.
Oh, the whole pack dominated. I mean, I noticed someone had written to me to say, saw very well Curry making 30 tackles, but he never makes a tackle with aggression.
Mm.
There's no intent in any of his tackles.
I think Fitzgibbon has, but he doesn't make as many.
Fitzgibbon was the only one in the pack that looked like he could play in the NRL still. He's the only one. I mean, he only made about 30 metres. I mean, he dropped a few, I think, but on the whole, he's the only one that's up to the standard of the NRL. The rest of them...
Every time they got the ball, they got into an attacking position. That's why they scored from the kicks. We couldn't make the yardage that they made.
Well, we've got a midget in the front row.
Well, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The only one that stood out, and actually, look at his stats, he did very well, was Harrison.
Yeah, he bounced off a couple of tackles and made a few metres, didn't he? He did all right. And Vaughan did nothing again. He came on his second spell. He did offload one ball, but...
What's wrong with the Musgrove?
No one seems to ask the question. I keep wanting to know why Musgrove isn't playing, but none of the press ever ask why Musgrove isn't playing. It was funny, at one point, Greg Alexander said, where's Ratchford? Have you got any heart? Like, basically just saying, what's the point of Leyland? You know, like he was just trying to find out where Warrington's scrum half was. I mean, he doesn't...
Well, the only thing that Leyland did was kick. He's a good kicker.
We can all kick a football.
Some of them can't.
And, well, some of that lot can't, but anyone who played on the school football team can kick a football, can't they? It's not hard.
Yeah, no.
So,
mind you, I do think King's foot was a try, the first one. That was a very marginal decision, especially as the ref had given it.
Mm. Well,
I mean, if someone's leg is just touching you, are you tackled?
Well, it wasn't, I don't know. I mean, he was a bit unlucky, but... They're just better all over the park. They've got bigger forwards. They're more organised. Watching the NRL coverage this, you know, over the weekend, they had all the coaches on. They interviewed each and every one of the coaches, and every one of them was articulate, including the Wigan coach. Burgess just seems to run off the back of who he was. He doesn't really ever say anything that's meaningful or deep at all.
I think the Wigan coach has got a degree.
Well, it shows, because they interviewed him before Burgess.
Mm.
Different IQ altogether.
He's played professional, but he's got a degree.
Yeah, and Cleary's smart. And also they interviewed Ricky Stewart. He was articulate and smart, but fantastic player. But I'm not sure he's quite up to being a tactical coach.
No, I think he encourages them. He's a good boss, but...
Yeah, they like him. They like him.
When you consider that they didn't get a point against Lee, and they could score almost every time they got it against us, and you said the pitch was narrow.
Well, apparently it was. But it's going to be a long, drawn-out season with that lot.
I'm afraid so. Well, we've seen this from the start. Props. Everyone says it.
You've let Nicholson go, who can't get in the Canberra side, and Bateman's gone, and they've brought in a... reserve grader, a scrum who can't run, and a scrum half from London who you only have to watch for 5 minutes to realise he's not up to the standard to win Super League. Who on earth makes these signings?
We don't know.
I just don't get it.
We've signed a lot of props, and nearly all of them have been bad. Last prop that was any good was Boyd.
Yeah, well.
You've got to get the defence could have been organised better than it was.
Well, it's weak, isn't it? It's weak down both edges now. It's not the same. They've not got that resolve.
They had an overlap whenever they wanted it.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, well, never mind.
Well, it wasn't great. But we did have Glasgow 20 minutes.
Well, when they'd given up and decided they were going to the casino, you mean that last 20 minutes?
But I think that Warrington had had a good week beforehand, too good a week.
Well, I mean, there we go. Mm. Now, I mean, we'll go to the timeline in a second, but I think I went for a coffee on about the 60th minute, so I didn't see the wire tries, but it got a little bit better towards the end, Sam, a little bit better. But before we review the timeline, what was everyone's feelings come the end of the game? Just our emotional outlay on this.
Disappointment, I think, more than anything. As we built up to the match over the previous 48 hours, I felt more excited than I expected to.
Yeah, you said last week on the pod, Sam, you said you were excited about this.
Mm.
The optics, probably because the NRL were in charge of a lot of it, the social medias, it looked vibrant, it looked exciting, it looked a place to be.
Colourful. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 10,000 piss heads all together.
He's gone already. There was a big build up. There was a lot of activity. Obviously, there's a lot to do in Vegas. Well, actually, there's not. It's just basically gambling, isn't it?
And drinking.
There was a lot of player interaction and this, that, and the other. And I never really gave it a thought about like the preparation, but. We know Sam Burgess got out there late And I did wonder to myself, would that have an effect on any preparations for the game? What do you think, Sam? Do you agree with that? Do you think there was a disruptive? I mean, I know you asked that if he was going to come in, he'd fly in that morning and give that big speech, and that would be great.
That's where it went wrong. He got there too early. Clearly, he didn't turn up and give them a. No, I don't think it did really. On Sky, I know, Rob, you watched KO. On Sky, I was a little surprised and slightly refreshing to hear them be quite critical before the game of Warrington, saying in recent times, Warrington are great to watch, but when they come up in a big match, they often freeze or they don't perform on the big day against Wigan. And sadly, at half time, they were proved right, weren't they?
Too much paintballing, too much go-karting, too much, you know, going to see Elvis.
I don't think we can lay that at them. I said last week, or maybe even the week before, because of the performance last year, they've got a bit of credit in the bank. So I don't think on one or two performances we can lay that at them.
I'm just going to interrupt. I'm going to need new batteries for the caveat button. Just a second. I can see it's going to be one of those nights. Just pop those in for a sec.
There is an element, though, Sam, right, where I think if we'd lost the game in a relatively close match or whatever, then I agree. I mean, it's all part of the whole thing. But I think, you know, when you're like 40-0 down, it's almost a reflect. You've got to start asking questions, I think. That's the point, isn't it?
Agree. But I don't think we should go...
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
Overboard on one match. But I agree, we got blown away.
Yeah. Rob, do you think that preparation then of all that distraction...
Not close enough to it. I mean, like, you can't... All you see is this snippet from social media, and it's very easy to go down this narrative that, oh, is that all they're doing? They're just partying all the time. You don't really see them training, etc. I did read something about Wigan very much went to ground when they got there. Apart from a few of the social graces they had to attend, they were very, very focused. And Matty Peat in his... You know, in the talk afterwards, said I think one of the journalists said, "Are you going to go and see strippers now?" And he was very offended by this and said, "Well, no, we're not going to do anything like that because we're not a bunch of dickheads, but we are going to have a nice time now. The boys deserve it." So, our lead up to the game was not good with Burgess not being there. I mean, look, I'm going. Probably jumping ahead here on the time frame continuum, but yes, the NRL did brilliant coverage of the Super League for once. You know, they actually focused on it and they didn't scoff about it. They actually took it seriously. All the coaches were interviewed prior to the game and interviewed at some depth. You know, it wasn't just this surface shit that you get on Sky. They actually asked them decent questions about how they performed, what their tactics were, etc. And Burgess was the only one who didn't really articulate himself in any manner to say that this is what we're doing. He was just running off that buzz of Sam Burgess being in Vegas. You know, it was all about, oh, have you missed the NRL, Sam? Have you done this? But there was nothing in terms of his analysis that threw me to think, this guy knows what he's doing. Whereas Ricky Stewart, the guy from Wigan... The lad from New Zealand Warriors, all were really wanting to talk about the tactical, you know, entities of the game. Burgess wasn't. So I feel we've got as we went back last week, I think we've got a bit of sizzle in charge at the club rather than sausage. That's where I'm going. So that was kind of the lead up, wasn't it? But anyway, let's go through the timeline and see what we made of it all. The fourth minute, Liam Byrne is placed on report for a crusher tackle on Lachlan Fitzgibbon. However, there is no green card or penalty given. Yeah. I mean, I guess if he gives a penalty, then he's really got to send him off, hasn't he? He's got to say, right, you're guilty. It's a penalty. So he's he's kind of dodged a bullet there, Kendall Mintcake, and he's just washed his hands.
Yeah, I always think with those types of things that, you know, you can be quite unsighted in them crusher tackles, can't you? Because you've got a bunch of players around. So I'll be honest, I prefer that on report thing for something like that because it's not evident straight away.
What I did think about it was, though, just how forceful Wigan are in the tackle. They hurt players in the tackle. They throw themselves around, very much like the England women's team, who also, I mean, I know they got absolutely flogged, but the aggression, you know, they're out of their depth, they're playing against athletes, and it just was a mismatch. But in terms of determination and aggression, the England women left Warrington so far behind. The aggression in the tackle from the English women, I wish we could get some of that beef into our Warrington pack.
Yeah, I must apologise to the lady who it was because I didn't catch her name, and that perhaps is a bad mark for me not knowing the full England team. But did you see the girl who, towards the end of the match, went flying in? She took the ball on the run and basically bounced back, but she'd put everything into it and hit a brick wall.
I was criticising the scrum half. I mean, the scrum half is so slow. The fullback and scrum half have got one pace, one gear only, and the Australians just ran round them all afternoon because they had pace to burn. But that poor scrum half, who, okay, she's got no pace at all, in the 89th minute, still has the determination to get that ball down to score that try. She comes up red-faced, she's bruised, she's battered. If we could just get some of that DNA and stick it in Warrington's forwards, we'd go a long way, a long bloody way.
Yeah. It's a shame you omitted that bit of the conversation with your dad, really, wasn't it?
It was edited, I must admit. Yes. That conversation has been edited, OK, well, let's press on then. Sixth minute, Toby King steals a high ball from the Wigan winger Miski, and goes over to score. Kendall sends the decision up as a try, but asks the video ref whether the tackle was complete prior to King stealing the ball. The video ref says no try, explaining Miski's ball-carrying arm has hit the ground and therefore the tackle is complete. Now, I've just watched this back this morning. It's not Miski.
Oh, what is it? Who is
it? It's the ginger-haired lad. It's the centre, isn't it? I've just, because I just thought I'd go back and watch the tries to see where we were at. So it was the centre. It was that centre that dropped the ball. When is the tackle complete? I mean, I think the tackle was complete. You've got to draw a line somewhere on a rule. And the rule is you can't have a grey area around the rule. So, yes, it probably didn't fall Warrington's way, but his arm has hit the ground and that's the rule. Yeah?
Yes.
Fair?
Yeah, depends how you roll the dice, I suppose, when you're in Vegas.
Right then, the remainder of the half is not good luck for Wire, as Wigan run in four tries, all of which are converted to leave a half-time score, Wigan 24, Warrington 0. Ouch.
Nasemba's hard to tackle, isn't he? I noticed, I think it was the first try, there was a couple of people, he just bumped him off and then passed inside. It was like, that became a bit of a theme for the match.
Yeah. Also on the other side, Toby King was very lackadaisically walking up out of the line. If you watch it back, I can't think which try it is.
We penalised him last week for that.
I think it's the Miski try where Dufty nearly gets him into touch. Dufty didn't make a tackle all game because that wasn't classed as a tackle because he didn't complete the tackle. It was a zero tackle. But again, if you watch that back, King is just slowly meandering out of the line again. We look poor on both edges, Sam. All of a sudden, it doesn't look... The glue has come apart by the looks of it.
Well, we did on Saturday night. So, first of all, they really should have scored just after the King. No try. They led us off when Marshall dropped the ball over the line, more or less. You expect him normally to score there. But after that, I actually thought...
Orange alert.
Caviar detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
We actually scrambled well, were beaten by a couple of kicks and then the Miski try. But it was a fourth try. They really ripped through us and we were all over the place.
The ball back inside. Yeah.
5 or 10 minutes before half time, and that really disappointed me, the way we looked completely out on our feet, really. I was talking to this with my stepdad. They're not actually that much better than us. What they are is a little bit better right across the field, and that adds up to an awful lot. You're just a little bit quicker to everything.
So they are better.
I would take out the little and put a lot better across.
Yeah.
The field.
No, I'm saying it adds up to a lot.
Right.
No, I think a lot adds up to a clusterfuck. I wouldn't say a little adds up to a lot. I'd say a lot adds up.
They were 24 points better than us. I'll just remind you.
Orange alert.
Caviar detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
I don't think we're going to see the same type of turnaround, but we did win at Wigan by 40-4 at the back end of last year. So, you know, we weren't questioning Wigan at that time. We'd said they'd had a bad night.
Did Wigan have a pretty different team than last year compared to what we've got this year? There's a bit of a difference there.
I think it was the biggest ever watched Super League game in Australia. To which no one watched it, if I'm honest. Like everyone in you was like, when's that on? Oh, no, not watching that. No. But I did find a lad in the warehouse who had watched it, who I was quite surprised. He came up to me and said he watched it. And I said, what did you make of it? And he went, you were outgunned, mate, and your props are all fucking soft cocks.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's the sort of analysis we need on this podcast, I reckon.
You were outgunned and your props are all soft cocks. Like, he didn't say they were slightly better, mate. They were slightly better, which led to a little bit more slightly to a lot. He just said, you were outgunned and you got a fucking bunch of fucking soft cocks. That was it.
I think that should be typed up and pasted on the dressing room wall for Warrington as a bit of motivation. I think that's about as much motivation as they should need. The Aussies think you're a bunch of soft cocks.
Someone wrote to me, did I mention this last week? I can't remember if I did, and said, it's all very well Curry making 30 tackles. And he made 41 tackles this week. However, they're called the Curry hugs. They're not tackles. Yeah. There's no aggression. Yeah. He makes hugs.
Didn't you discuss that with your dad?
Oh, did we? Oh, yeah, that was it, wasn't it? Yeah, someone mentioned it to me. And then where is the aggression, Dennis, in that pack? Okay, there's one person who's aggressive in that pack, who's always bad-tempered. Fitzgibbon stands out by a country mile. He's the one that you can see has played top-level NRL. Philbin, since he's had his teeth done in Turkey, I mean, you may as well forget Philbin. Where's Yates? Very hard to be aggressive when you're only 4'8".
Well, I've just seen a thing where Sam Burgess reckons he's the most aggressive tackler in Super League.
Pound for pound, he might be. But yeah. Barry McGuigan didn't fight at heavyweight, did he? You know,
We're going over old ground again, though, aren't we? You know, we've been questioning the pack since day one. We said, they're going to be in a position where they're going to be able to look after themselves and be able to sort of tackle like the bigger teams, this, that, and the other. And I think we've all said that, yeah, okay, that might happen in some games, but when we get against the bigger teams and you know, some of the bigger, better teams, that isn't always going to be the case. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, I think what we're setting our stall out here, lads, is basically we're mid-table. Let's read it now.
Mid-table team, aren't we?
We're a mid-table team. And we're looking for hanging on to fourth at best.
The only thing that could save us is a lot of the teams in Super League are shit.
Well, yes, there is that. Yes, yeah.
Second half begins and it's more of the same. 60 minutes of action results in Wigan scoring 3 more converted tries to leave an embarrassing scoreline of Wigan 42, Warrington 0. I mean, they were having fun by this time, weren't they? The brilliance of Field and French came into play. I think there was a try over on the left-hand side where we were just completely outnumbered. We didn't even counterput the scrum. I'm finding Russell's got a little bit of... the Sam Tompkins syndrome he had when he played for the Warriors. Tompkins was always late to the tackle when playing for the Warriors. The opposition would always score, and then Tompkins would come in with his knees about 3 minutes later. And he went, this is a bit too much for me. I'm heading back to Super League. Russell, have you noticed Russell's always in the shot when they score? He's always coming across. Oh, I've just got in a bit late. Well.
I don't know whether you can single this out. I mean, I'm itchy.
Alan London said he was our worst tackler.
You know what? It's something about the London family that don't take to Russell. Did you used to live next door to some Russell family or something that you didn't get on with? Did they used to leave the bins in front of your drive or something?
Ginger family living next door.
Oh, it's Ginger, is it?
See. To do with Russell, He's not good enough. He's not good enough. Signed a second-rate reserve grader. He's not good enough at the big level. He's all right when we're playing Huddersfield. He's not good enough to take what Wigan and Saints on. That's why he didn't play for St George. I just question what is our goal as a club now? Is it to win Super League or is it just to be mediocre?
I think you've been deliberately cheeky there. I think it's clearly to win, but
and they're doing it
you
wrong.
Have to question.
They're doing it wrong, then,
I think
Sam.
You have to question the balance maybe this year.
You have to question it every year for the past 40 years. Wigan and Saints and Leeds and Bradford have signed all the good players and we don't. Who is in charge of our recruitment? I'm sorry, but I'm sick to death of pussyfooting around with this happy clappy woke shite. We're rubbish.
Who's let Trump out of the bag?
Is Fitzpatrick signing these players? Because if he is, he shouldn't be let to sign any more players.
No.
Should we move on to Leyland? Should we move on to how poor he is?
I've got the tackle sag section coming up, which I've had to go through all the bloody timeline of your text messages, adding them all up. So we'll get to that. Don't worry.
There's a distinct, I can see on my phone, there's a distinct difference between the messages I get from the happy clappers who are happy to go along every week and support the club and buy the new top. And then I've got a whole heap of people that I know are pretty good at sport who text me just going, this lot aren't good enough. Who the fuck's making the signings?
Yeah.
It's the same every year. It's fucking same every year. And also, why is Burgess out partying like no tomorrow after the game? Do you think Alex Ferguson or Craig Bellamy would be out? They'd be fucking walking up and down the hotel room, fuming. Not out with their arm around someone with some Aussie DJ. It's bollocks. I've got pride in Warrington. I'm the one that turns up every week and puts this shit together. I am Warrington, Primrose and Blue, through and through. And I'm fucking sick of this shit that they keep putting out. Sick to death of it. I'd like them to win it before I die. But I can see every year we come round and it's like, why have we signed him?
This is what's
happening. Why have we signed this player? He's not good enough for Saints. He's not good enough for Wigan.
It's all right. It's good enough for Warrington. Happy clap.
This is because he's seeing the end of life, isn't it? He's been in hospital two or three times.
This is it, Dennis. I've seen the light.
He's now thinking, I'm not going to see him ever win the championship before I die. I think actually now I'm going to think about it and reflect after the podcast. I think I might come back next week with a similar thing and say, this is fucking shit. I'm not quite there yet. I'm willing to sort of give Sam Burgess 8 games.
Right, I've done enough talking. Sam, come on, you have to bring this back around to reality now. I've gone on one. Bring it back round.
No, I think you're quite entitled to go on one. And you are right about not just 40 years, 60-odd years, isn't it? But I think what I can't give you is a reason, because it's not the same person year after year, is it? It's different coaches, it's different CEOs, it's different owners. And so you can't just point a finger and say, it's your fault.
We're just not a rugby league town, are we, with that pride? I mean, there's fuck all to do in Wigan. There's nothing to do in Wigan bar go and watch rugby league teams. So they've got that sort of even I've found players that have played for Warrington over the years, their legion still lies with Wigan. You know what I mean? Like, why have we got a Wigan CEO? Why have we got a Wigan CEO? I don't get it. Not in a million years would I employ anyone from Wigan.
I like that.
That's half the team gone.
Exactly. But it's half the team gone that aren't good enough to play for Wigan.
Yeah. I want to know what other fans think about this. About, like, yeah, why is it always shit? You've really got me thinking now. I don't know why. Why are we doing this? It seems to be a repeat. You know, how long have we been doing this podcast? Is this the seventh year?
Seventh year.
Oh, Jesus. How many times have you been in hospital? I mean, it's not related, but there is correlation, I'm sure. Yeah. You've really put a downer on this podcast, haven't you?
Well, you've worked in management manufacturing, Dennis. Like,
oh, I would have fucked them all off by now. They would have been fucked from day one, straight away. They'd all been fucking sacked. In fact, I'm going to give Sam Burgess 8 games, but I tell you what, I mentioned, and I'm not going to go on about it tonight, but the Dunning-Kruger effect is quite a significant effect. And I think that's what Sam Burgess might have this year, is that, you know, where you believe that you're better than what you actually are. Ooh. And it's like a bit of a mystique. So I'd encourage everybody to go and have a look at the analysis of the Dunning-Kruger effect. But I feel that, you know, he's a slight bit of arrogance of like what he's achieved in year one could be actually fundamentally causing him problems in year two. Because, you know, he's gone in with this attitude of like, oh, well, we've got a smaller team, but, you know, we're going to go round them. Well, they fucking rang rings round us this week. And, you know, the big guys are going to be able to cope with the small. No, it's not going to happen. Sorry, mate. It is not going to happen.
Poor Sam Sankey. He's come on to have a lovely chat and we've both gone off on one. Look at him. Poor.
Well, you've got me going.
You know what set me off? Slightly. When he said slightly. That's what set me off.
Would it have been better if I said they're all 1% better and across 17, that makes them 17% better?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good way.
I'm looking forward to the statistics.
And after Wigan start making plans for their night out at the casino, Wyeth finally come to life. First, Lindop dives over the try line to score. Then Harrison scores with a walkover, followed by Duffy scoring from the scrum. And finally, Ashton goes the length of the field after intercepting. Thulis converts all four, to leave a respectful full-time score of Wigan 42, Warrington 24. Came home with a wet sail, Sam, covered in shit.
And the question would be, was it because we kept going to the end or had Wigan put the cue on the rack?
They were about to score in that corner, had Ashton not intercepted. He got in that little interception. But
they cashed in the chips at that point, haven't they? On there. It's the only positive I can think of.
Okay, well, let's come on to the stats then. Tackles, Duffy 0. As we said, he made that cracking tackle on Miski, but it wasn't a tackle because he scored, so he didn't get any points. Ashton 2, Thulis 3, Lindop 7, Leyland 10, King 11, Powell and Harrison both on 12, Williams 13, Philbin 19, Crowther 21, Yates 22, Russell 25, Fitzgibbon on 26, Walker on 30, Vaughan on 32, and Curry out there outstanding with 41 cuddles. In terms of meters, Powell 19, Crowther 26, Fitzgibbon 31. Who was our top prop? Our top prop was Harrison, 94 meters, closely followed a meter behind by Vaughan on 93. Ashton was out on front. He made that 100 at the end, so he ended up on 190. And Duffy made 171. Now, looking at the other stats, the carries were just slightly in Wigan's favour. They had 52% of the carries. Post-contact meters actually went Warrington's way on 52.
Yeah.
Not sure how that works, but it does somehow. Runs from dummy half were 50-50. Tackles 48% to Wigan, 52 to Wyeth. But play of the balls in the opposition, Wigan only had 30% of the play of the balls in Wyeth's 20-metre area, whereas Wyeth had 70%. I'm presuming this is because when Wigan got down there, they scored every time very quickly, Sam, whereas we were camped in there for a long time, so that stat was lopsided.
I've got a little request for the listener. Rob does a little, not just a little, he does a running order for us each time we do this, but I'd like to just come in with a couple of statistics now rather than let the moment pass and come back to it later and get you two wound up again.
Is this your statistics section? Shall I play your jingle?
Yes. I think we'll play the statistics.
Play the jingle, Dennis.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms. It's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics. Accreditation removed.
So, we've talked a lot already about the size of the pack and the perceived size of the pack. At a request from Dennis, I had a look at our pack and what we've done so far this year. And I've compared it to Wigan. And as you can possibly imagine, we don't come out too favourably. Simply in terms of size on the pitch, both on the starting team and on the bench, Wigan were averaging 107 kilos per man and Warrington were averaging 102 kilos per man. So, you know, 5 kilos is a lot to be given away. Mm. It's a weight category at boxing, to use your Barry McWigan analysis from earlier on.
So that's 5 kilos, Sam, right? 5 kilos times 2.2.
Two kebabs.
11 pounds. It's nearly a stone.
Yeah, it's getting on for a stone, isn't it?
Wow.
And also, they're about 2.5 centimetres on average taller than us as well. Now, season to date, average gain across the Warrington pack, every time we carry the ball, is 5.8 metres.
Mm.
Average gain season to date, every time a Wigan forward carries the ball, is 7.5 metres.
Ah, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's showing that they are making more metres. But on the flip side of it, if you just look at hard, cold numbers, we all saw with our eyes that for 55, 60 minutes, we were blown away. But we had as many tackle busts as Wigan. Wigan had 8 clean breaks, we had 5. Wigan made more errors. As Rob, you've said, we had more ball in the 20-metre attacking line. Mm, mm. Does it just show that when it counted, Wigan defended better?
I think that's quite a deceiving stat, that when you look at that.
It
you
is,
see,
yeah.
It's clearly that you don't have much ball in the opposition's 20 if you score quickly.
Mm,
so yeah. And that's why it looks deceiving, whereas we've been down the other end. We've had a lot of ball in their 20 because we can't score because their defence is better. So it's you've almost got to look at that stat and possibly say, well, the one with the lower percentage is the better side.
Well, scoring scoring as many times as more often when you get down there.
Yep.
And finally, the big stat, though, overall, metres made with ball in hand, Warrington 1,266, Wigan 1,557.
Yep.
Significantly more metres made.
Them little bits add up to a big gap.
Had a text from, I think this kind of sums up what Sam's just said. A text came in from Michelle Cartier. She lives down in Melbourne, Victoria. She wrote to say, my dad used to say, a good big'un always beats a good little'un.
Mm. Always on time, she is, isn't she?
Always on time. Always on time. Okay, so before we move on then, our conclusion following the game and Sam's statistics there.
I asked Sam for this specifically, and I'll be honest, Sam, I also wanted to understand the Warrington average gain compared to last season. Not necessarily for you to work it all out, but I, in my mind, I'm pretty sure when you've analysed that stat before last year, we've been up at 7 and 8 ourselves in certain games. Yes. And it just feels this year that every time we're going forward in the forwards, we're not getting anywhere. You know, I wouldn't acknowledge Rob going on about Yates not making any yards, but I saw it very clearly the weekend. He was running up. And, yeah, he's a tough guy, but he doesn't make any yards. And like now the stats are starting to show it. And I think if you compare to where we were just last year, we're not making anything in the forwards. And, you know, we've talked about the forwards a lot. And I just think there it is. There's your numbers now.
It's a shame because it's such a good back line from 1 to 6. 1 to 6, there are, and 9, Walker as well. You've got 1 to 6, great back line. You've got Kai Taylor-Ray chewing at the bit to come in. But then you get to 7. We haven't got a scrum half. Did you hear Greg Alexander on the pod, on the on his commentary, sort of questioning where Warrington's scrum half was, who was coming back? And that's the worry is, it's not like we've got Nicholson coming back or Bateman coming back. We're not waiting for someone from this pack to come back. Apart from Musgrove, who...
Where's he?
...seemed to be our best prop at Huddersfield and hasn't played since. What's gone
what
on there,
What is the
Sam?
Word on the street with him? Do you know? Does anyone know?
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's weird.
It's funny that, because if we were over here in the NRL, probably like 28 journalists would have asked that question by now, but let's not bother. Let's not bother. Let's just run with...
Our day in Vegas. Oh, look what I did today.
Fucking hell.
I mean, it's like, I'm not suggesting that we've necessarily missed Broderick Ty either, because, you know, I think Lindop's done really well, better than King at the moment. But I'd almost be thinking, you mentioned it, Rob, playing Ty in the second row or something, just to...
Yeah.
You know, bit of
we've
that
had a few go
that
over
hitting.
The years. I mean, we had Cullen go into the second row. Gary Mercer, he went from a winger to a centre to a second row.
Yeah, like Gary Mercer.
Stick him in the second row for a bit. Give him 15 minutes in the second row, taking someone's head off. Because he's definitely got aggression.
Oh, yeah, He definitely likes to hit.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel sorry for Aaron. Aaron's 18. He's 18, you know. He's still got that try down. Yeah, but the forwards just... Powell doesn't seem what he was either. Powell seems to just be cruising on the field. Don't know whether... He's come on a couple of times where the game's kind of not been in his favour, but or the game's been won. Just not really doing much.
And yet, ironically, we scored all our tries the moment he
Did
came
we?
On.
The minute he came on, right. There you go.
He didn't take a particular hand in it, but wonder whether... He started to organise the latter part of the game.
I look, you know where I stand with Hayes. I don't think Hayes. I think Hayes is another carbon copy of Leyland. He's probably got a slightly more speed than Leyland. But I'm still in favour of what Peter Tunk said. And he said that Dufty is a 6. Is now the time to get Dufty and Williams working together. And we bring this Kai Taylor-Ray in at number 1. Is that the option? So
you do that now, would you? Or do you think this weekend we're going to see Ratchford at 7?
Well, Ratchford is the conservative approach, isn't it? You know what you're getting with Stefan. You know you're going to get an 80% performance. He's not going to set the world on light, but he's a damn sight better than Leyland. But why not just put the cat amongst the pigeons and put Dufty in there? And I know Dufty plays outstandingly well at fullback, but we've said about State of Origin, you find your 13 best Queenslanders and then find positions for them. Shouldn't we be finding positions for our best 13 players rather than saying that certain people don't fit in certain pegs? I don't know.
I know we look forward later, but I think it's a big 2 weeks how we react after coming back with a little bit of jet lag. It's going to be a big 2 games that, under normal circumstances, we should be favourites for.
Right. Okay, we'll move on to Vegas in the news section. We'll sort of cover that off in a second. But round 3 Super League results. Hull KR 42, Salford 0. Huddersfield 10, Hull 11. Lee 34, Catalan 6. Wakefield 6, St Helens 26. And Leeds 38, Castleford 24. I've not done a table yet, boys. I thought we might leave it a couple more weeks before we start looking at the table. No real surprises there, were there, Sam? Nothing really that stands out.
The Huddersfield Hull game spoilt my predictor. I had Huddersfield by 8, and Huddersfield were winning by 6 with about 10 minutes to go. I thought, I'm all over this.
He missed a kick, didn't he, as well, to win it?
Yeah.
And then Hull put the drop goal over. Dennis, any favourites in there? Usual suspects?
No, I thought it was a shit weekend of rugby, if I'm honest.
Do we think St Helens looked the real deal this year, or they've not really played anybody yet?
They were battered and bruised last year, weren't they? They really came through it last year, so I think they're going to be better for that. They've got a lot of youngsters in there that have been bloodied last season. I think they'll go all right. They didn't sign Dan Russell, so they're definitely on a winner.
He's mentioned it again. I've been looking all right. I mean, I know they've been getting beat, but and they're playing us next, which is interesting. And Daryl Powell will want to prove a point. But with Mike McMeekin in there, he's playing 80 minutes. There's a forward you want in your pack. He's like a big guy, isn't he?
You like him, don't you? You've always liked him.
I do. I know. I might have a bit of a crush on him in a way.
You used to have a crush on John Woods.
You did.
You did.
I did.
You stalked him outside KFC. You knew exactly what came out in his bucket. I remember you telling me that.
I don't recall any of this conversation. I want you to edit this bit.
Who's your biggest crush been, Sam, on a Warrington player? Have you had a crush on a Warrington player?
On a Warrington player?
I just wanted to massage Les Boyd's legs.
Basil Richards, I liked. What about you, Sam? Come on.
I think... in a different way, Jonathan Davis.
What do you mean a different way?
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Welcome back to News Round, sponsored now by ChatGPT. A crowd of 45,209 attended Rugby League's big day in Vegas. Apart from Wire going down to Wigan in the opening game, Canberra Raiders beat the New Zealand Warriors 30-8. Penrith defeated Cronulla 28-22. And the Australian women massacred their English counterparts 92-4. How much did we watch? I watched the Warrington game up to the 60th minute. Then I went out for a coffee and then I caught the last 15 minutes of the ladies game. That was me done. I didn't see any other games.
I stayed up to watch into the middle of the second half for Canberra.
Wow.
And then I watched the women on fast forward the next day, and I watched the Penrith game as well. Yeah. Right. I really enjoyed the event. I thought it was like, it was how our Magic Weekend could be, if we upped our.
And we went Blackpool.
Game of Blackpool. Where would the gambling mecca of
Blackpool, of
England, serious? Be, or Britain?
Weren't they going to sort of do some licensing leniencies on Blackpool to let them open it up like a casino, like Vegas?
Yeah,
they
were
that disappeared
trying to
now?
Create it.
Be all right. Yeah. Ah, dear. They're reducing it next year, aren't they? It's too long. They're going down to 3 games. Apparently, you can't get out of the stadium. Once you're in, you're locked in. So if you were watching from the first game to the last, it was 9 hours sitting in your seat.
Are they dropping the women?
Now, I'd like the listeners to know it wasn't me who said that.
I'd like to distance myself from that, please, if that's okay. Thank you.
Well, if it's going to be the women, it needs to be two Australian teams, doesn't it? I mean, I don't think we've got anyone who's going to be competitive. I think that proves the point.
I can't see us being invited back after that performance. You know, we're not. I reckon they might go World Club Challenge next year.
That makes sense. Yeah. I don't think that. I don't think it should just be random. But
yeah,
World
yeah.
Club Challenge would be a good.
I'd
shout.
Like to see Huddersfield versus Salford next year.
Is this after they've been paid or before?
Well, let's move on to that then. Salford Red Devils have been placed back under sustainability cap restrictions amid continued uncertainty about their financial health of the club. Paul Rowley will again be unable to field his first-choice side when Salford make the trip to Castleford Tigers on Friday. So it gives Castleford a chance of actually winning a game.
Mm.
It's a bit unfair on your points difference, isn't it, if they rock up with the under-11s. I mean, Saints got about 60 on them, didn't they, or something ridiculous week one.
Yeah.
I think it's the wrong approach, the RFL. This is the RFL again, isn't it? It's bullshit. What they should do is just penalise them 2 points. And then at least for the fans and everyone else, Salford put a full team out and then, you know, they've got a chance of pulling the 2 points back or something, but they're still getting penalised, a 2 point deduction.
You're taking 2 points away from them.
Yeah. So instead of going through this, like, yeah, you've got this cap, you just say, right, I'm minusing 2 points.
And you're playing the fixture.
No, yeah, you're playing the fixture. And Salford put a full team out. Don't you get that?
What's he saying?
Yeah, I understand what you mean. I understand what you're saying. And in a way, that's what the Premier League does in football. If you breach your financial rules, they take points off you. They don't say you can't play that player.
Yeah. It's ridiculous because it's ruining the game, isn't it? It's like, you know, the fans watching it, the sports and everything. And then, you know, oh, well, it's just going to be a 60-point route. What's the point of watching it?
Were we under financial restrictions in Vegas? Was that why our pack didn't play? Was that something to... And another player set to leave Super League for the NRL is Saints forward Tony Knowles. The 69-year-old is no stranger to Australia, having won the Australian Masters in 1984, beating John Virgo in the final 7-4. Knowles has signed a 2-year deal with the Brisbane-based club, the Dolphins, where he will team up with his old St. Helens coach, Christian Wolfe, and Len Ganley. See, this is the trouble that you were saying this, Dennis. This is the trouble with ChatGPT. This is the trouble. It mixes things up all the time.
It's messed it all up, hasn't it? Has he got anything on Richard Agar?
Well, the New Zealand Warriors have confirmed the NRL Integrity Unit is investigating assistant coach Richard Agar over an alleged incident in Vegas with journalist John Davidson. Warriors CEO Cameron George said they are helping with the investigation and hope for a prompt resolution. Davidson has not commented directly but described his Vegas trip on social media as interesting. Agar, a former Warrington assistant coach, joined the Warriors in 2022 after leaving the Leeds Rhinos. Have you got Richard's number? He's always playing squash with Tony. Should we give him a call? See if we can get hold of him. I'll just call him now. No, he's on the squash court. We'll try and get a word from him.
Can we go back later?
We'll go back later, Tim. I've reached out to John Davidson. I sent him a WhatsApp message yesterday. He hasn't written back.
Oh.
He hasn't written back.
Is he on the squash court?
No, I don't think so. I think he's in hospital.
Oh.
Oh, Samuel, I fear the recording of your tricky second album hasn't really hit the ground running. If anything, it's more like a flat-footed Toby King canter.
I think we just need to buy a bit of time, Wolfie, before we strike the right notes.
Now I'll count you in again, boys. 1, 2, 3, 4... 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, for goodness sake, Philbin. Try and get to the beat, boy. Stick to the metronome, dear. The metronome.
Sorry, madam. I was still talking about a device that produces an audible click at a uniform interval. Or Leon Hayes.
Don't worry, Ralphie. I've started to think, given time, this album has all the tones of an award-winning lyrical mix of surrealism and social observation. Along with a subtle way of wearing its musical innovations lightly and displaying a fresh approach to the traditional beat. Who knows? We could win the Mercury Prize.
The only Mercury we've encountered is the overflow from ICI into the River Mersey. You know, when we all participated in last year's team bonding sports day.
Yeah, I know. And who'd have thought, Ralphie, that Japanese whaling fleet would be sailing so far north?
I know, Sam. It took 3 months of bureaucratic visa primrose and blue tape to extradite Professor Broomhead back from Tokyo.
I think I've got writer's block, Ralphie, and the backroom staff are all tone deaf.
Tackle sacks.
Do you think I should bring in a couple of new writers, Ralphie? You know, to help perk up the lyrics?
Let's face it, Samuel. Williams and Hayes, their partnership hasn't really hit it off like the Lennon and McCartney.
All good things must come to an end, Ralphie. I mean, McCartney went on to compose a Frog's Chorus.
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, thankfully I've deleted Jeremy Gousset's number from my file of facts.
Anyway, Ralphie, I better go. Mr. Moran's sorting me out Oasis tickets.
Yes, I think you'll find you might definitely maybe be looking for an Oasis patch of wins if this desolate losing streak continues. Otherwise, Samuel, we can probably all give up on your tricky second album. And ironically, just pop on a UB40's greatest hits. That was a good line. Why can't it be like this every week?
In the week of the Brits, the Mercury Prize.
Thank you. Also, Mercury lined up with all the other planets this week as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it did. Was that just a coincidence?
No.
Have you had this one? Have you had this one recorded and ready to go for the moment we lost?
Yeah. All ready to back
up. We've got fuck all else.
I have to say, I'm liking Madame Boyd's bigger part in the in the sitcom. Yeah. And I like the use of Definitely Maybe as
yes.
well.
Yes. Yeah. And the UB40.
Yes. Yeah. Don't Break My Heart, I think it was, wasn't it? Was that?
It's all there. It's all there.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Tackle
sacks, go. Well, here we go again. Got a couple of things here. How much time have we got? Have we got loads of time left?
We're doing all right at the moment, boys. We're doing all right this week. We started earlier.
I should have done more, really, I suppose. Anyway, I went back. I'm going to do the results first. At the moment, we've only got Toby King on points and Ollie Leyland on the SAG watch. I've got a list of all the points here. I've added them up. So, Rob, I could do with a couple of points off you, Sam, if you think anybody is deserving of any SAG points. Rob has gone with Russell, 1 point. Thulis, 1 point. Curry, he's got a SAG point. Curry SAG, 1 point.
SAG.
And one thing though, you've given me Burgess 5 points. I want to know why you have given 5 points, because I'm not putting him on there.
The whole week was a SAG. The whole week, from the visa fuck up to him, I'm listening to him chatting on the NRL, going on about his heyday, and then the performance has to be questioned by our coach. So
right.
I'm giving him five SAG points. I'd also like to add a few more SAG points if I could. I want to give Carl Fitzpatrick 10 SAG points.
Okay.
He's from Wigan.
Because he's from Wigan. He will continue to get 10 SAG points every week until we get rid of him.
Okay. I put Fitzpatrick on 10 points. Sam, do you want to add any to that list? Have you got any?
No, I think that's more than enough points.
Okay. Well, now we've got to get to the Ollie Leyland SAG points and how many. So if you remember the criteria, we have got we've got categories for 1 to 3 SAG points is a bit of a cock up. 4 to 6 SAGs is a mid-match shit show. 7 to 9 SAGs is a full fucking flop. And 10 to 13 SAGs is absolute dog shit. So I'm presuming...
Very sweary this week, this podcast.
Isn't it? It's really fucking sweary this week. No one said cunt, though, so it's all right.
Hey, I haven't used language like that. How dare you? I think with Ollie Leyland, you know, he's had his chance. We didn't give him 10 games like Deck Patton, but I don't think you can afford to now. And I think we've already discussed it about using Ratchford, this, that and the other. I think Ollie Leyland, for me... has now gone into the mid-match shit show, which is an immediate 6 SAG points. Sam, do you agree? Oh yes, he does agree. He doesn't like to say it out loud.
Oh no, I'll say it out loud. I think I would still like to see what he can bring. But
when's he bringing?
I expected much more against Catalans. I expected a lot more against Catalans.
I mean, he's had a trip.
I can't really argue against you.
Yeah. Well, as players, as a league table, Ollie Leyland is now at the top, but we've got Fitzpatrick and Burgess up there as well, which is making it a little bit awkward for me. But anyway, okay. So I will be doing the table. I'll build it up each week. I might actually start posting it on Twitter just to see if we get a response.
Yes. No one's on Twitter anymore. But yeah, go on.
Are they not?
Does anyone go on Twitter? I don't go on Twitter anymore. Like,
no, I don't. No. I don't go on anything.
I don't go on. I'm not even. What's the other one? Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh God, that's depressing. Oh God. Is everyone in Vegas an alcoholic? Is everyone who went to Vegas an alcoholic? I actually looked up what the definition of an alcoholic is, and I'm pretty sure they're all alcoholics.
Sam Sankey?
Just says, like, dependent on alcohol on a weekly basis. Like, he's just basic. Like, alcoholic is not that high, is it? It's not like Jim Bergerac on, you know. Wasn't Jim Bergerac, wasn't he an alcoholic?
Recovering alcoholic, yes.
But in the new series, yes. Which is utter dog shit and deserves 15 sack points... In the first scene, he's at an Alcohol Anonymous session, and then he goes to the toilet and has some. I was very disappointed. I watched it. There was hardly any shots of Jersey. It's all been shot inside, and it's all.
Is it a glass half full then, or a half empty for you, Rob?
This one? I'm not watching it again. They've ruined it. Oh, okay. Absolutely ruined it.
Would an alcoholic consider it was half empty or still half full?
The first Bergerac, if you actually watch episode one of Bergerac 1, right, Bergerac 1 opens with Bergerac's sidekick chasing a plane down the runway at Jersey, which is full of drugs, right? The plane explodes, his car goes into the plane, and he dies. So the next thing is we see Bergerac's sidekick and the funeral, and Jim Bergerac's attending the funeral, and he's consoling his partner's girlfriend at the, you know, funeral. And then 2 minutes later, he's having a crack at her on the beach. It's unbelievable.
Mm.
Corpse is still warm.
Talking about TVs, Warrington Wolves have recently spent $125,000 on a new visual display. Isn't that right, Mr. Sankey?
It is, yes.
I was thinking $125,000 for a big screen. It seems an awful lot of money. It must be absolutely massive and brilliant. So I've done a little calculation. I went onto the Argos website and I found a Bush 50-inch UT24SB Smart UK 4K UHD HDR LED TV costs £230. Now, for the price of £121,670, you could purchase 524 TVs. Now, if we put them all together to make a big screen out of the 524 TVs, that's 23 by 23. That is equivalent to 95 feet by 95 feet screen, which is 29 meters for all you metric kids out there. So I was thinking that would be quite big, wouldn't it?
Mm. It'd be very similar to Times Square in the that video wall they had.
Oh, have they got a video wall there, have they?
The pub that used to be there at the bottom of Bank Street.
Oh, I'm thinking of creating one big screen, Sam. Like, you know, not putting them all around the ground. This is going to be like, you know, one massive screen.
Again, Dennis is at the forefront of technology.
Yeah, I've got nothing else on it other than the fact that, you know, I was willing to do a deal and
big
get the
circuit board, though, innit? Would you be overloading the circuit board there?
If you remember, it's $121,670. I'd left $3,000 or $4,000 for extra software and programming and stuff like that, and also a bit of steel box section.
And I nearly rang you this week, Dennis, because we had a bit of a flashing incident in the dining room. I got up on a ladder to find only one of the five bulbs was still working and it was flashing. So changed the bulbs and the bloke. But the, you know, bloke's like, no, you need to go to a dimmer switch. Your dimmer switch is not dimmer compatible. So I pulled it off the wall, put the dimmer switch in. No electricity at all, both in the dining room and the front room. I had to get Sparky out for $325 yesterday. He said, what you've done is as you've pulled it from the wall, it's been one of the lives is very brittle and it's broken.
Sorry, are we still talking about your light switch, or Danny Walker?
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two games to predict prior to the podcast returning. First up, this Sunday, it's round four of Super League, which sees Wyre taking on Darryl Powell's Wakefield at the Halliwell Jones. The game has an unusual kickoff time of 1 p.m. Then it's the fourth round of the Challenge Cup as Wyre head to their neighbours Widnes. The game gets underway on Saturday, the 15th of March, with a 5 p.m. start. Before we take a flutter, here's Hal.
So, you've turned to gambling. How low can this podcast stoop to? You three and all your listeners couldn't back a winner between you. I haven't seen such a pathetic fall from grace since Devon Locke fell in the National. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if you lot back the pantomime horse off Rent-A-Ghost in the Derby. Talking of derbies, I bet it all kicks off at Widnes. If it was up to me, I'd castrate the little fuckers so they cannot breed.
Right, well, there you go. It will kick off at Widnes, won't it? It will definitely kick off at Widnes. All the little scallies will be fighting, you watch.
I'm just looking at Sam because he's getting all prepared because this is his favourite section, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm just thinking 5 p.m. on a Saturday is prime been drinking all afternoon time,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, they'll be kicking off for sure. Why 1 p.m? Is it on Channel 4 or something? What's happened there? Why are we going 1 p.m?
No, I don't. Both Warrington and Wigan are both playing at 1 p.m, which seems...
Is there something on the box? What's on the Strictly Come Back or something? What's happened? Something going on there? Right then. So we're only going to predict the money on the Super League game. Current standings are Sam's down to £93.45. He lost £4 this week. Dennis is down to £90.57. He lost more than he gained. And I lost as well. I lost £4.50. But I'm still in the black, boys, on £100.35.
Can I ask how I didn't win anything at all for my bet when I bet Wigan to win? Or is it just because the two offset each other?
I thought... I thought you bet Warrington to win.
No.
Oh, did it? What did you bet? 50p or something? I had you down on the Excel sheet as a...
You had a right go at me for wanting Bevan French and Wigan.
What did you put on Bevan French?
Oh, I'd lost my money on Bevan French, though.
But how much did you put on him?
I can't remember.
I'm having a look now. I'm bringing it up. Here we go. Right, Samad, I've got you down as £2 on Wire and £2 on Bevan French. We'll have to go to the video ref. We'll have to play it back just to make sure.
I don't think we've got time, have we?
Do you?
Have you got that from another recording? Have you got that from another garage band?
This is podcasting gold, this, isn't it? Fucking arguing about the fucking money. Just get your bets on, for God's sake.
Right, you're going first, Sankey. Come on, you're up.
Okay, Warrington are going to win.
Yeah. How much are you going?
I'm not confident, but I'm going to say Warrington are going to win. I need to make some money back. I'm going to put £20 on a Warrington win.
I think they're 5-1 on.
I know.
Right, okay. And your first try scorer?
Ashton for £1.
Ashton for £1. Right. Okay, all right.
What were the odds on Wakefield win again?
They're 5-1, I think they were.
5-1. Ooh, I'll put a couple of quid, £2 on a Wakefield win.
Yeah.
And £5 on Dan Russell.
How to lose your money. Right. I'm going £35 on a Wakefield win.
How to lose your money.
And to offset that, I'll go £1 on Ratchford. I don't even know if he's playing, but yeah.
What if he's not playing? Do you not...
Well, I just lose my money, don't I? Just lose me. Just foolish. Yeah. Just think he'll be high odds because he might not be playing. So anyway, it doesn't matter because I'm going to get an absolute shitload from Wakefield. So that's it.
What Would Brian Bevan Say condones all types of gambling, prostitution, drug abuse and people from Widnes. For more help, go to www.mind.org.uk.
Okay, we'll be back in a couple of weeks, which gives you, yes, you, I'm talking to you, plenty of time to become a patron. Link, as always, you can find, yes, you can find, I'm talking to you, in the description to this podcast. Come on, you've been listening to this for 7 seasons and you've not put your hand in your pocket once. Take you 2 minutes. Get online now. So until then, as we put the Vegas chapter behind us, it's a God bless America from Sam.
All the best.
A land of the free, home of the brave from Dennis.
Best seeing ya.
And from me, ask not what your podcasts can do for you, ask what you can do for your podcast. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? And that went very well, lads. Very upbeat.
Jesus.
Don't be scared. Did you lose your temper? Hello? Hello?